Today's episode of Not Just a Phase is brought to you in part by our partners at Relentless Merchandise. For over a decade now, bands worldwide have depended on Relentless to keep their totes stocked with everything from custom tees and tanks to beanies and banners. So whether you're a new band gearing up for your first order or you're a touring operation looking for advanced e-com services, Relentless has you covered with quick turnaround times and first-class service. Does your merch setup need some love? Hit up Relentless Merch on Instagram and check them out online at relentlessmerch.com. Mention this podcast to receive an exclusive Not Just a Phase discount. Relentless Merchandise. Quality prints on time. Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase, and thank you for joining us here in our fifth season. If you're new here, let me get our plugs out of the way really quickly. We are online at notjustaphase.net. We are on Instagram. Great.
Instagrams. What up?
Instagram. All right. If you're a new Jack here, let me get our plugs out of the way really quick for you. We're online at notjustaphase.net. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, Substack, OnlyFans, everything you can think of at Not Just a Phase worldwide. The Patreon has bonus content, including video podcasts and a bunch of free stuff. It's free to join. You can also help support the show there with our expansion and all of our harebrained schemes. So if you'd like to do that, that would be appreciated. Today's episode, we're talking with Crochet. Crochet is a mathy screamo band that was formed and birthed in Las Vegas. Their debut EP, Birth Piece, was released on February 17th in 2023 with a plethora of chaotic scales that rain down upon the hearts and ears of screamo fans worldwide. The album's jaw-dropping guitar work was backed by very technical drumming that matched and enhanced the prowess of their compositions, and the vocals are shrieked and shrilled all over this masterpiece, and it is something I consider a technical benchmark where emo violence meets math rock. The debut of Crochet and their first EP release made myself and many others say, holy shit, there's screamo in Las Vegas? There isn't a ton of punk music in Nevada, as far as I'm aware at the moment, but the scene is growing, that much I do know, and we will be talking about that as well. And this is the band that put Vegas on the map for me. So I'm very excited to be chatting with Zach today. And here to join me co-hosting on this very special episode is my friend Vicky. She is our Not Just a Phase Italian correspondent, music journalist, show promoter, screamo meme queen, vocalist of a few projects now, with her main band being Rescue Cat. It is always a pleasure to have Vicky's expertise on the show, and I'm going to pass the mic off to her so she can get the show started here with our guest.
You were sounding so like Fantano-esque at a certain point. I was like, oh wait.
Offensive. Thank you.
I got scared for a second. Good thing you didn't mention like the rattling hi-hats.
Yeah, I took that part out of my description. Was it too much?
You're only missing a flannel. Okay, by the way, sorry. Welcome to the show, Zach.
My
Moody from Instagram. Finally, we have a conversation IRL. Thank you so much for talking with us today. How are you doing?
Bene, tutto bene. Really excited to be here. Hey, this is Zach, and you're listening to Unsex Pledge by my band Crochet on Not Just a Phase.
Yeah.
I'm Zachary Tarzi, but you can call me Zach. I play guitar, and I'm the longest running member of my band.
Do you listen to any podcasts in your free time?
No, I get. You can't listen to loud music. But yeah, I
Zach, can you
don't
do that one
really.
again? Sorry. Zach, can you do that one again, please? I don't
Sure.
know. Did you lose in there, Vicky, or just me?
I didn't.
You didn't? Your internet's kicking. Somebody's internet's cutting. I don't like that. It's not how I want to start things.
I could hear it. Okay, and you as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Just redo it anyway, since I'm gonna have to cut this crap now.
Sure.
Please, if you could, Vicky, if you could re-ask the question, and Zach, if
Yeah.
you could re-answer it, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Do you listen to any podcasts in your free time?
No, not really. I probably should get on that because it's good to listen to in your car on your commute to school, when you have a headache and you can't put on the loud punk rock tunes. But yeah, mostly I don't know.
And when it comes to spare time, hobbies, leisure activities, I know you've been practicing Italian. You also have somewhat like, is that a Italian surname that you have?
Yeah,
However.
but really want to visit soon. It's a great country, has the funniest people on, like scream affirmations, but
Period.
yeah, I don't really have any personal connection to the country. I've been wanting to get into the art more and more. Of course, I've been listening to the Italian screamo bands more recently. But like my professor has been encouraging us to watch the neo-realism movie. I'll get into those later. But besides practicing Italian, which I originally got into from university, to be fair, because it was a requirement, but then I really came to enjoy it. I consider guitar, I guess, to really be my hobby, which is funny because I guess I'm technically a professional, but really, my day job at this point is just to go to college and get good grades. Besides that, I read a whole lot. Again, also for university, but also for my free time, I'm really into political philosophy.
I mean, that's kind of a lot. And how's school going for you?
It's good. It's gonna wrap up in a couple of weeks. I'm gonna graduate with my bachelor's, so I'm really excited for that. And then I'm gonna try to have a loosey-goosey summer, as my friend suggested I should do. And then I'm gonna go off to law school. I'm going to DC, to attend Georgetown. Pretty excited about that too.
So when it comes to the bands, did you guys meet, is it everyone's hometown? 'Cause we already got to talk about, Nevada and the current state of it when it comes to music,
Yeah.
during our February episode, but what's your take on it?
Yeah, check out the Feb episode, guys. But yeah, my bandmates and I, our lineup has changed a bit over the years. It started with just myself, Aaron, and Mario. Mario's our old drummer, and Aaron, everyone knows Aaron. And we all met in high school at Canyon Springs High School in North Las Vegas. Quite a long time ago. And eventually we just started to decide we decided to start a band. But again, the lineup changed over the years. We added Abby and Jake. Abby, I think, is originally from New Jersey, and Jake was from Iowa, and really only moved out at the age of 20 from that place. So he lived in a small town with a population of like 400. And his coming to Vegas was a very interesting time period for his life. So it was really a whirlwind for all of us. And Gavin was born and raised here as well. We met him because he was in another band called Pudgle here, which I suggest people should listen to. And he got into music because there was this kid named Roman who lived across the street. They were both like 5 or 6 years old, and their moms made them make friends. So he started playing drums, and Roman started playing guitar, and they started jamming from a really, really young age. It was very cute. I guess it was like a Slint situation or something. But they kept playing for many, many years. And then we met them at a show or something, and I saw that Gavin was really good at what he did, so I recruited him as well. As for the Nevada music scene, I don't know what goes on up in Reno, because that's like a whole other world. I know one of my favorite bands, Rob Ford Explorers, from there. But here in the South, Las Vegas and everything, it's gotten a lot better over the past few years, I have to admit. Like pre-COVID, there was really nothing of artistic notability besides spring breeding, maybe. But after the pandemic, our band started up, Pudgle started playing shows. There's the whole Body War thing, which you can get into that if you want to.
What do you mean, body war?
So there was this project we did, and by we, I mean it was myself and Aaron mostly, and my friend Nick. He lives in Chicago now. It was pretty much only active during 2022. I think we played a couple shows in 2023 as well. It was this free improvisation kind of outfit. And we were really into the whole danger music idea at the time. There was lots of violence. I guess I have to spare details so I don't get my acceptance letter rescinded to law school. But there were glass panes involved. Lots of blood, my own blood, not other people's blood. Eventually, there was that TikTok that went viral. So you can Google Body War TikTok and see the Rolling Stone article. It was really a bizarre time in our lives when that was happening, to just wake up overnight and it's like you see an Instagram message from a friend. It's like, oh, hey, you guys are on this random Facebook post where everyone's making fun of you. And then over the next few weeks, it just got more and more extreme. It's very paranoia inducing, I think, to go super viral over one of your bands, especially in the context that we did, because it wasn't like or organic in the sense that it was because of the music or something. It was just like, oh, look at these stupid people from Portland, which we aren't from Portland, but they thought we were. It was just really, really weird. And I think it's one of the events that made all of us who we are as people. That's also the show that ended up being included in that TikTok. Jake and Abby were there as well, and they weren't formally in the band yet. So I think that was one of the things that encouraged them to join, if not the thing.
Rob, did you know about this?
No, I'm not on TikTok. And this was, well, we are now, not just the phases, but I myself was not until recently. So,
I'll see
no, this
the
is
Rolling
all
Stone article.
brand new news to me. I assume you know what this is, Vicky. The cool kids, the younger kids probably know what's
I'll
going on.
only
I
a
don't
little
know.
bit, but I don't think I've seen the original.
Send it in the chat so you can see.
All right.
Isn't it?
We need one of those guys that Rogan's got. You can just hey, Jamie, can you pull it up for me real quick? I hate Rogan, just for the record. I just want one of
Sorry,
his
there's
guys
an
to pull
internet
it up.
problem.
I didn't hear anything, sorry.
No, it's not going to come through.
Okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Cherish?
Sorry, there's just an internet problem just now. There's the link, so you know I'm not lying about the Body War thing.
Oh.
Well, I believe you.
And
It's
in
just
fact, it
complete
was
news to me.
so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous that I included it in my personal statement for law school. So there you go.
How did you include it into?
So yeah, sure. Into my personal statement? Well, my application was structured about being a professional musician. And I mean it actually is pertinent in a way because with the whole situation, like record labels and producers trying to clamp down on us and secure us for their own good in the wake of it, because like Anthony Fantano, Lingua Ignota, all these people are making videos about it. It was just insane. So people were trying to capitalize on the situation. And I think that was really my first brush with the music industry, quote unquote. And it was the first step on a journey of illuminating all the ways in which exploitation does take hold in the music industry. And now, 2 albums later and 200,000 Spotify streams later, I can confirm that I've still made no money off of it. So there you
Fuck.
go. So
You did
Cherish,
get
yeah.
a sick Rolling Stone feature though. I mean.
I'm really in it for the fame and attention. It's just an outlet for my narcissism.
Well, now
So
you're on a
money doesn't
podcast
matter.
too, just like a super famous popular worldwide podcast, so
I'll give you my whole manifesto soon. So anyway.
Please do.
Cherish, it's an interesting record. It's more songs than the last one, but it's shorter. The instrumental was recorded in 6 hours, actually. It was all produced by Tyler Gutlaben. He is in Spring Breeding. He helped record February as well. Great guy, great engineer. But in any case, we were actually the first band in Vegas to have recorded with Tyler. And this happened in such a way where I was really wanting to offload the engineering duties onto another person so that I wouldn't have to deal with it myself, like I had done with Birth Peace. Was really agonizing. But I wanted the producer to be a person who I could leave artistic faith in. So my first instinct was just to think of a Vegas band that I actually enjoyed listening to in recorded form and find who produced them. And I knew Spring Breeding, and they're pretty much the only one. So I looked on the Bandcamp page and I saw that it was self-produced. So I literally just cold DM'd Tyler on Instagram and asked him if he could produce our record for us. And I don't think he had ever really done a proper engineering session for a band other than his own at that point. So everything was all new to us. The process was being formed as it was going along. And it definitely provided for a certain energy. The instrumental session, especially, was really awesome. We were super sweaty because we had to turn the fans off so they wouldn't get into the microphones. And it had that kind of war feeling that I was always going for. I've never been terribly into the whole nice part of math rock, or like the kind of peaceful bands or Midwest emo kind of math rock bands. Those never really appealed to me all that much. What I really liked were the very chaotic and abrasive sorts of bands, especially the Steve Albini adjacent ones. And one thing that I noticed with all these kinds of bands is that they have this almost war dynamic between the players, especially if you see live videos. Normally, with bands, you expect the something called stage chemistry, but I thought it was much more invigorating to see members seemingly fighting for space on stage, and trying to overcome each other. So I try to incorporate that into the entire process of this record. And definitely on the recording day, it really came through. And I think if you listen to the instrumentals closely, you can see how we're like desperately trying to keep up with each other. And that's really cool. As for the vocal process, that was stretched out much longer than it needed to be, but it was done with Roman actually from Pudgil. at his house, which I'm sure is difficult because he has birds and various kinds of animals, and they like to make disruptions.
Are they fans of crochet, the birds, or?
I don't think so. They're really
No.
obstreperous and they have hateful attitudes towards almost everything, especially pickles.
Pickles. The bird's name is Pickles.
He's
Excellent, excellent
green.
bird name.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
I'd hope he'd be green. Yeah.
you can touch him a few times, but after three or so, then he starts to really get mad.
Has
So,
he heard of hate beak?
of what, sorry?
Has Pickles heard of hate beak?
Hate beak, no. What is
Pretty
that?
banned. It's a bird affronted hardcore band.
Yeah. Well, I guess I
Pickles
should
might be
correct
into
myself
it.
because
Yeah.
I haven't heard of it, but Pickles might have. So,
Right. That's what I'm thinking. They probably run in the same circles, being hateful birds and all. Yeah.
Maybe they just prefer the chill, lo-fi version of math rock.
Could be. Could be.
He doesn't
Can we
like
get
the script.
Pickles on the show at some point? We'll talk later. We'll talk after. Sorry, where were you, Zach?
Oh
Go
my
ahead.
God, we should have him fight with Jack's dog from Kiowa.
Oh yes. What's the story behind that? I mean, I love Jack.
When they came to the show, we have a question that we're going to ask you as well about if you had to punch anyone in the world, who would it be?
Yeah.
And I don't remember which one of them said Jack's dog. I hate Jack's dog so much.
Such a fucked up answer. I loved it. He's like, yeah, he's just so annoying. He's like humping my leg all the time. So it was so funny. Oh man. So, touching on you talking about the instrumentals and the war and chaos feeling that you're going for, you can definitely hear it. It sounds like everything's trying to battle everything at the same time. So I definitely feel like you captured that quite well. It's a battlefield sonically. I don't know how the hell you guys compose any of that, because everything separated on its own is so chaotic. So to put it all together and somehow it works, just
Yeah,
absolute madness.
definitely. I mean, the composition process. I also wrote most of the guitar parts for the record in pretty much one weekend or so. And that was also an intentional move because I wanted to go towards a process that was based more on instinct and intuition rather than reason and planning and mapping out and all these kinds of things. And I guess that leads to a broader discussion about how you should live your life. But yeah, in the case of this record, it's just kind of an experiment in that sort of mode. And when I brought it to Gavin, we just got in a room together and he was terrified at first because he had never played something that was all over the place in this sort of way. But he got used to it eventually. I had to kind of goad him on to really just dive into it without thinking too hard and just allow him to do his thing and again act on instinct and kind of exert his will instead of thinking so much about how to make everything fit together. So the drum parts were also written in probably 2 or 3 days total. And that's not to say that it was low effort. I think people get this kind of construed, that planning is the benchmark of effort, but it often isn't the case. And again, with this record, I wanted to explore the different kinds of effort. I think effort through physical exertion and just power and will are just as valuable as effort through planning and premeditation. So, I guess you could say that we made up for writing out the notes and all the parts and those kinds of things with just sweating and getting blood on the snare drum and those sorts of things.
So, what was the effort in regards to the album art? Low effort. Someone took a picture of your back, and made, like, am I missing something here? Is there something deeper
Yeah, that
behind
was
this?
Jake's back, and Jake's moles, and
Now we
also
know
Jake's
whose back it is.
record. Yeah. So, yeah, this is new information for the podcast. Yeah, Jake took the photo himself somehow. Well, I guess someone probably had to take the photo for him because of the angle. Anyways, it was kind of conceptual. He had this image that he saw on the internet somewhere that was kind of similar, and he saw a lot of power in it, so he turned it into his own thing. It's meant to capture the atmosphere of the album again, both instrumentally, particularly in the ambience. Like, we were very concerned with the room that the music sounded like it was in. We wanted it to be extremely claustrophobic, tight, narrow, kind of evoking a cramped apartment or something. So we wanted that to come through, as well as the atmosphere of the lyrics, which we put a lot of effort into. I think I probably wrote like 60% of them, and Jake and Abby wrote maybe the remainder. And all of the lyrics also had a lot of effort and craftsmanship put into them. We wanted certain themes to come through and for a picture to be portrayed. So all of those kind of coalesce into the album cover. I think it's very claustrophobic. It's also very intimate. And the subject is, it's skin, basically. I guess the subject is a person, but the thing that your attention is called to is the texture of the skin, which is also one of the lyrical themes.
Interesting. Interesting. So jumping into this year, lots of plans for yourself personally and the band kind of coming towards a wrap up, it seems. But with some good news on the horizon, we have Best Friends Forever coming up. Who are you most excited to be sharing stage with?
Yeah, well, I guess I have to go back on something I said earlier about Midwestemo or something, which is I would really be excited to see Marietta and to be on the same bill as them. But above all, Mineral. Mineral was one of the first ish emo bands I got into. I still think they're one of the best. I think they're less immature than most of them. And their songs are really tight, but their lyrics are just so beautiful. And they aren't just complaining about relationships or something. Most of them are about God, which I think is really wonderful, on their End Serenading record. And like that song GJS about his father is great. So yeah, I'm super excited for them.
And looking back on the band, is there a favorite show or tour memory that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I think for all of us, it's probably going to be the first show we played with drummers or Micah Kuhn. That was in Vegas, in August 2022, pretty sure, yeah. And that was just crazy because we were just getting started at that point. That was our first show with Jake and Abby, with the first main lineup. And it was just shocking to play with a band of that stature already at that point. Well, I guess he wasn't a band, he was just himself, Jörn Zwicker Kuhn. It was really, really cool. Our friend Carter C was the one who got us on that show. We just had all our friends there. Everyone was so happy to be there. It was a real sincere moment for Screamo, I think. And I guess the genre kind of lost its way a little bit after that. But we can at least cling to the records, you know.
Me and Zach had a conversation a couple weeks ago because we were talking about this. We had like this, it's funny that we're already not like we have nostalgia for things that happened just a couple years ago or 3 years ago
Yeah.
because we feel like I don't know how it is in Canada, but we both were talking about how it already feels like it's something that's gone. That little moment was very special, and then just like that, it was gone. It was like the smallest hint of balance, and everything was perfect. And we had like a streak of shows that was unforgettable, and then somehow it's kind of lost already. But I feel like that's how it always is in Screamo. There's like a streak of amazing magical things, and then it's just lots of like being nostalgic about it and trying to make it happen again. But
Yeah,
I think it was
absolutely.
a bubble burst. Everything was so awesome for such a short period of time, but it'll come back, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, the like prima facie incongruity of it all, I think, is just that this genre is the one that's super famous. People are getting record deals. There are sold out venues with 1,000-person caps all the time. And the incongruity I mentioned is like this music is kind of inherently designed to be inaccessible, strange, low budget. It never really makes sense to me to see this kind of corporate structure evolving around it when the music itself is so inherently against that. And I don't even mean because of like its mission statement or something, even just sonically, I feel like it's opposed to it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, they did the same thing with hardcore too. I mean, the way it got commodified into Warped Tour and sponsored by Monster and Liquid Death and all that. I didn't see that coming when I was a very young kid when I first got into it. But corporations are bound to taint everything at some point.
But I mean, the corporations come along afterwards. I think people are like in a hurry to blame capitalism or something, but it needs something to latch onto to begin with. And I think even before the money started getting involved, there were egos getting involved. I don't mean ego in terms of like self-esteem or something. I mean ego in terms of doing it all for the wrong reasons. Because there started to be this energy around it, and people could search for attention in the music scene to compensate for the lack of attention they receive in their own lives. It created a perverted incentive structure with this kind of music. Because I think the only reason someone should be in a band is because they like records and they want to make records. And that old incentive structure was quickly blown away. And I don't think it was done so by record labels or venue owners or promoters or anyone like that originally in this scene. It was done so by the very people who constitute it.
It's potentially a hot take, depending who you ask. Yeah.
Period.
What were you going to say there, Vicky?
No, I just said period because I couldn't agree more. I feel like I don't think for the next however many years we will have such a thing as the atmosphere there was a few years ago when Screamo started existing again or like being discovered again up until the next wave. But for now, as it is, it's not that it's tainted, but it's like it already lost the purpose they used to have during COVID and right after COVID.
Yeah, definitely.
There was a urgency to play music again in Italy, where COVID was so bad, so much so that we like the kids who never booked a show before or never started a band before, spent their formative years inside a room practicing music and listening to records. And so the moment something opened up, I remember we saw a Radura show with like seated spots just because we wanted to see. And that was like one of the first shows after COVID. And everyone was sitting down with masks, but it was still a Screamo show. There was like this like hunger to do this again because everyone like discovered Screamo and became like old enough to understand it during COVID in the room, and everyone met through this the internet, and then everyone moved to Milan. Everyone started like 1,000 bands, and just like that, it was gone. Like just like that, we were playing in front of 1,000 people, and we were all like super depressed. And now it's super fragmented.
Yeah, exact
And
same
it's
thing here. Yeah.
yeah.
And I like what you said about like being on your own in your room, listening to music, playing your instrument, and getting into it that way. It speaks to the sincerity of it all, of course, but also I think if you want to be a real musician, in my opinion, this is a real hot take. You have to work in a mode that's primarily meditative. And I think m music that subsists solely off of energy is usually just ill-founded. And you might use like the original punk rock scene as a counterexample, but I think even then, even more so, there was an energy around it socially. But at the end of the day, all of those original pioneers were still private people. They practiced on their own terms and they developed relationships with their instruments that were very intimate. I think that's the kernel from which everything else has to spring up at the end of the day. Because if your musicianship is just a response to the external, then it's going to be ephemeral. It's going to be built on shaky foundations.
Take. I'd have to agree with it. No complaints, no qualms. Pivoting back to your music though. The next release, is this going to be considered the trilogy to end it off? Is that correct assumption? Like, is this going to be the piece de resistance? Is there anything planned
Yeah.
label-wise? Like, what can you tell me about what's coming up?
I mean, it's kind of up in the air right now. I'm really just waiting for my bandmates to finish vocals for a few tracks. My plan, and this is a plan. Okay, man plans, God laughs, but we'll see if it works out. I want to make a discography release that includes a remix of Birth Piece, as well as Cherish, as well as all of the tracks which were cut from Cherish, plus a few
Remix
more.
how, sorry, like re-recordings or remixed
Yeah,
songs in
remix
general?
Birth Piece, yeah. Because
Sick.
I still have all the files on my computer. I'm gonna go in and torture myself again. But yeah, it's gonna have that. It's gonna have Cherish, hopefully, and all those loose tracks that have been hanging around. Because Cherish was originally going to be around twice as long, and a bunch of tracks got cut to my chagrin. So I really want the world to hear those, and hopefully you will be able to soon. As for label plans, I don't really know because my bandmates have always been the ones to handle those kinds of things, physicals, merch, all of those. I really just hate dealing with logistics whatsoever. To me, a band has just been the luxury of playing music and writing music and not much else because I can't be bothered to deal with anything else. So maybe there'll be label situations in the future. We'll see. I know Larry Records reached out for to us, so we might do something with them.
My turn. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Speaking about playing music, is there a band that you haven't played with that you would love to share the stage with?
Oh my gosh, a lot, but I don't know how many would be fitting. Oh, this is a good one. IO. And well, I guess the flyer isn't up on our Instagram account anymore, but the very first Crochet show ever before Jake and Abby were involved, we were supposed to open for IO in Las Vegas. They're going to tour from Canada, but he had an issue with Border Patrol, and it was such a big issue that he was not only barred entry to the country, he was barred for like 4 or 5 years. So
Oh.
I would love to play something with him either in Canada or when Trump lets it back. But yeah, he's really, really cool. He's a great drummer and again has a spectacular relationship with his instrument. He really knows the ins and outs of rhythm. But besides that, his records are just really amazing. Very few of them are on Spotify, so check them out if you can. Anyways, his music, I think, really fits in with the mission statement of ours. This chaotic, beautiful thing, this shower of notes.
It's still my turn. Okay. And what about a artist from a totally different scene that you would have like zero to little to no chance to play alongside?
It's a good question. I mean, well, one that isn't broken up, probably. it's a shame because so many of my favorite bands are broken up. Oh, I mean, like, probably Yahweh Nailgun, this new band from New York. They're really awesome. And I think they're pushing this punk rock thing in a cool new direction. They have the attitude, but they're doing something new with it. I like that.
Yaoi nail gun.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Yaoi again? I can't, like, I know what it is, but some type of
Yeah.
anime nonsense, right?
No, it's the name for God and the religion of Judaism. So it's interesting because
Yaoi
the
is? I thought it was a type of anime. I was way off. All right, my bad.
The band
My bad.
name is spelled YHWH, which is the original like transliteration of the letters in Hebrew. There's like this taboo against saying the name out loud, so I guess it's going to cause me problem.
Interesting. I hit up Reddit for some questions, as I occasionally do for the show. And we got a few people who had some questions they wanted to ask you directly.
Oh
And I'd
wow.
said that I'd quote their Reddit username. So
I hope you do
Concerned MILF
your
Concerned MILF asks, when are you coming to the Bay? And yeah, we'll start with that. When are you going to the Bay?
probably not.
Okay. Sorry for, I bet that MILF is even more concerned now. Probably
That's
not going to the Bay. All right.
fair.
Unfortunate. We have Oceanaut 17 wants to ask Zach how long you've played guitar for and what was the inspiration for the shorter songs on Cherish?
Yeah, both good questions. I started playing guitar in 2020 in March, so the very beginning of the pandemic.
That early? Like, wow. Okay. Go on.
Let
That's done a lot of scales and work in a short amount of time. That's
him
something.
cook.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. It was like it possessed me or something, which I guess it helps that I didn't have anything to worry about because it was COVID. But yeah, the big thing is that I didn't really know how one is supposed to learn guitar. So it didn't occur to me that I should start with easy songs or something. So I immediately started with a bunch of TTNG tracks
Oh
and
my God, I knew it. I was about to
Their Animals tab book is like the basis of all my guitar playing.
How do you start there? What the fuck?
Yeah, well,
You
I
didn't learn
didn't
a power chord or your GCAD first? You just
No,
like what?
I learned Crocodile by TTNG before I learned how to play a G chord.
That's fucked. That pisses me right off, to be honest. I'm
just
so
didn't
bad at guitar.
know.
Fuck.
Yeah, I just didn't know that you're not supposed to do that. And I learned a bunch of floral songs within a couple months as well. Or not a bunch, I learned a couple. And I really just proceeded in that kind of way. And then in a few months, I realized that I was really good at guitar. So I started asking around to start the band. That's where things began. It was cool. Our first practices were with masks on. Maybe there's some people around here who can relate to that. And the second question was, oh yeah, the shorter songs. We were actually influenced for this record a lot by Prowler in the Yard by Pig Destroyer.
Period.
It's really in there if you pay attention. Like a lot of the lyrical themes are taken after that album. I think it has probably the best lyrics of any metal album.
Real.
Yeah, just wonderful poetry. But besides that, the compositions, I really liked how it was relentless. Because my brother used to compose, and he would always tell me that people would criticize his compositions for being relentless, like this was some kind of sin or something. So I heard this record, and it really just actually cracks your skull open for 25 minutes. And it's just song after song after song. I guess that's a normal grindcore thing, but I'm not super into the genre. The only other grind band I know is Painkiller. But yeah, I liked how it's just thing after thing after thing. So I wanted to write something in that kind of vein while still having the songs feel very complete. So that was also one of the compositional inspirations for the album.
Very cool, very cool. Ario31 wants to know if there's any musicians outside of the screamo world that you take a lot of inspiration from.
Yeah, another great question.
Said Pig Destroyer, so that counts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I have tons of, I mean, I actually don't really listen to that much screamo, especially these days. So in terms of artists, there are a whole ton, but in terms of individual musicians, there are a lot that I think I owe a lot to. I mean, first of all, Zach Hill is my favorite musician of all time. I think he's an absolute genius, and it runs deep. he's not just technically skilled at the drums. He has an encyclopedic understanding of how rhythm works. And I don't even know if he knows that, but he seems to understand every possible way in which you could divide a musical measure. Gavin pointed something out to me that was interesting a few days ago, which is that if you watch those like super crazy videos where he's just freestyling on the drums really fast and you slow them down, he's essentially just playing the same kinds of hip hop beats that he uses in the Death Grips productions, but they're just sped up like three times. So he's amazing. And all of his discography is really, really great.
Your parents name you after him?
Yeah, they're big fans.
I
Yeah,
don't know
my
if you're
middle name
joking
is
or not.
Phil.
Boomer alert.
Sei
It's Italian humor. You wouldn't get
buffa,
it.
ragazza. Besides that, I have a lot of guitar players I take a lot of inspiration from. Ian Williams is another all-time genius. All of his discography is really amazing, especially Storm and Stress, which I think is very underrated.
A singer-songwriter, not a band.
Oh, he's a guitar player. He has Don Caballero under his belt, Storm and Stress, and Battles. Those are his main projects. There's also Nate Sherman from Floral. He's a really big inspiration to me. I got to play with him a few months ago, which is crazy because the original lineup sort of made the decision to start making music together at a Floral show in 2020, right before the pandemic. So that was cool. Other guitar players, Tim Collis is the guitarist from TTNG. And he's again the biggest, or he was the biggest inspiration for me as a guitar player. I don't really take as much to studying him these days as I used to, but still just the basic mechanisms of his fingers, like the banjo rolls that he does and things like that, and his way of tapping will never leave my vocabulary. They're really the foundation of it. So yeah, those three are major ones. Also, Spencer Syme from Hella, he's really big. His approach, I think, is really cool because it's just so raw and abrasive, but still has a technicality to it. I think that's really interesting, the intersection of technicality and an abrasive sloppiness. I guess a lot of that comes through in just the sense of writing something that you're not good enough to play. I think produces a fascinating struggle. Yeah.
Well, this has gotten way too highbrow for me, so I'm going to have to derail everything here. And we're going to
Please.
take a big left turn. If you've heard the show before, you know we like to just kind of shoot the shit and ask some goofier questions near the end. What's the most illegal or dangerous thing you've ever done in your life that you're comfortable putting on a very worldwide podcast, Mr. Law School?
Yeah. I mean, that's the question.
That is the question, yes.
I hope
Are you
Dean
pleading the
Andy.
fifth or?
Yeah, I hope Dean Andy Kornblatt from Georgetown Law is not watching this, but it's definitely going to be the glass panes. Yeah, they were everywhere. It was really dangerous.
Glass
I guess,
panes?
yeah, glass panes.
Could you
Someone threw
elaborate? Somebody
Someone.
was throwing panes of glass.
Yeah.
At a
I don't know
show,
who.
at a
Might have been me.
what's the setting for this? Who's just
Oh,
humming around panes of glass? Like what?
well, it was at a show. It was at a show. It was at a
Okay, there we
bodywork
go.
show. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It may have been you.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I mean, I still have scars from it, but.
Interesting. Was it tempered glass, like they're using like deathmatch wrestling kind of stuff, or?
No. What I heard was that whoever did it went to Lowe's and they just got the first glass panes they saw. So I guess they're normal glass panes.
Not tempered, just full on
Yeah.
type of shit that could cut you wrong, and that's it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what happened, allegedly.
Oh.
Yeah.
I really gotta look up this shit that I missed out on. Apparently, something cool happened on TikTok. I was not privy to it.
I think if you see it, you're gonna be like, oh, I saw
Yeah.
it. Great vague description, Vicky. If you've seen it, you're gonna be like, oh, I saw it.
Came
Okay,
to me in
cool.
a dream. Okay. Here's the big question. Assuming you're not a pacifist, if you could punch anyone in the face with no repercussions, as hard as you can, who would it be?
Well, I'm also gonna have to go with Jack's dog, but besides
No! Let's go. Not just the faces, pro animal cruelty, apparently. Let's go.
Let me think. Jeez.
There's no repercussions for this
Yeah.
punch. They just
Yeah.
gotta take it.
Probably Luigi Mangione's prosecutor.
True.
Yeah. Free my man.
Free the Ouija. Free the Ouija. That's tragic. Damn, that bummed me out. All right, trying to stay on topic here. What music do you listen to that could be considered a guilty pleasure? If not by yourself, maybe by your bandmates or by others, something I could rag on you for.
Yeah, well, they always rag on me because my music taste is too autistic. But besides that, don't know. I try not to listen to things that I think are bad because I feel like it's hurting me. I guess like I can get down to some recession pop sometimes. Some
What
real.
the fuck is recession pop?
Well, you would know because you were there.
Yeah.
What?
Like 2010s hits like Kesha and Black Eyed
The,
Peas.
those songs that were they were always about like having the time of your life at the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The songs I grew up clubbing to are called recession pop? Are you
Yeah.
fucking kidding me? Jesus. I'm not having anybody under the age of 30 on the show anymore. This shit pisses me off. Every time I do, I get embarrassed. This is fucking ridiculous.
I mean,
Recession
he did
pop, Jesus.
say he can get down to it, so he wasn't insulting it.
Yeah,
Crazy.
true. What's
Sick.
a you're willing to die on musically, Zach Hill? I that was a great pun. It should put you on Impractical Jokers. Let me think. I've said a lot of hills that I'd be willing to die on, but
So many good hills to bleed out on.
if you use backing tracks, or actually, in fact, if you track to a metronome, then you're a nerd. Never track to a metronome. It's bad for you. No one likes it.
What? What did
Yeah.
the drums track to with crochet? Not a metronome?
No. The way to do it, you get in a
Get the
room
fuck out of here.
and you look at each other and you just play the songs like you normally do. It's much better. I mean, we couldn't have even played the songs to a metronome. Because like the time signatures aren't even really set in stone. There's weird polyrhythms and stuff. Like the intro to Russian Doll Forever, I wrote that riff in 7/4. Gavin doesn't know how to play 7/4. He actually doesn't know time signatures at all. He's just like figuring it out as he goes along. So I think he's playing six on top of the seven or
Sick.
something. And you can't do that with a metronome. But even besides that, if you're playing normal music, you still just gotta let the tempo move a little bit. It's important.
I like that. That's very real.
There.
Very real.
If Crochet had a theme song, which song would it be?
Shit. Oh, we used to have a theme song, a walkout song. It was Big Mouth Strikes Again. That was a great track. Besides that, I don't know, what are you looking for in a theme song? Does it have to like encapture the vibe of the band?
Yeah. Or maybe something that when you're all like traveling together, you get down to the same, you would appreciate it, all of you equally.
Great question. It's got to be 360, man.
Has it happened before?
Happened before.
Okay, then it is.
Yeah, the whole car was wilding.
Okay, if you could steal any other band song, which song would it be?
Ooh. Probably has to be a Screamo band. Probably gonna be a Drome's Dream song for me. Something off the first record. They all kind of sound the same. That's kind of the point. Those songs really, I think they're like peak Screamo. They're what it's all supposed to be. Besides that, all the other folks really like haikus, probably seven or something.
Haikus makes perfect sense
Yeah.
for what you guys are doing. A haiku's cover would be super sick.
Well, I have a funny story for you.
Please
One
tell.
of the first covers we did was Three by Haikus. And I worked it out on guitar by ear, which was quite the feat.
Did you
But I
play it live,
actually,
I
yeah,
assume?
we played it live. There's a video of us doing it at Jordan's house from Widowdust. But besides that, I shared the tabs with Aaron from Claybirds, and they covered it as well. And I think that kind of set off a train of events that resulted in them being called Claybirds. Because that was named after the lyrics of a different haiku song. So there you
That is a fun fact. That is a fun fact. If you could give the entire world a gift that does not have to be a material possession, what
Yeah.
would you gift and why?
Yeah. Your mama's love.
For real? That'd solve a lot of problems, to be honest. My own and plenty others, I'm sure.
He broke character.
The gift of scrams.
No, take it back.
Fuck. Those are terrible gifts.
my beautiful face.
I'll take it. I'll allow it.
Nice.
You'll give
You'll see
the
it on
Victoria
Vince
something.
days. Do you guys have Vinted? No, you have Depop.
What?
Is you don't have an app called Vinted
I know
in
the app.
US?
No, I don't use it. I think oh, do you mean in America?
Yeah.
Oh, we have both, I think. There's
Okay.
Vinted, I'm pretty sure, and Depop is the main one, and people also like to use Grailed, I hear. I think Abby's a Depop user, big fan of it.
That's where
What is
I'm selling all your gifts.
this for? Depop?
They're
I'm getting
like
old.
Craigslist for clothes, I guess.
Okay. Weird.
Okay, wrapping up, we have one, two, three, four questions left. Any goal or milestone for crochet that you want to accomplish in the near future?
Probably gonna be breaking up because I really don't want to do it anymore. But
Yeah, but before that, before
yeah, if we're not allowed to do that, would be awesome to tour, especially the Northeast or something. But it's just like never been in the cards for us. I wish we could do it. The biggest problems, I think, are one, just how busy I am because of my studies, but also I think I'm immunocompromised or something because I'm too twinked out. And the result of this is that if I play even like one show out of state, just the taxation of it causes me to get sick, which
Oh
is
my
really
God, why all guitarists are like that? I swear to God.
annoying. Really? Well, who else?
I think it's because you have to carry the whole burden of the bands on your shoulders as artists and the whole swag, and that gets you sick.
Oh, it's because you bitch made. Bassists never get sick. Throwing that out there.
The jury's out.
That's true, though.
Either one of you could
Yeah.
be But yeah, I mean, I would love to. We have some awesome friends out there, like Feeble Little Horse in Pittsburgh, and both in New York. We'd love to play shows with, but hopefully it'll work out someday. Maybe we'll come back after I graduate from law school and make a shit ton of money. Then I can like hire a van driver or something. You can really ball out.
And a nurse full time to give you IVs after shows.
Yeah,
Love
he's got the drip on drip.
that.
I'm
Let's
actually, I
go.
was planning on bringing like the whole tube feeder thing on stage with me. And I could like lay in bed on stage and just play while I'm being force-fed my nutrients.
Statement. That would make you go viral on TikTok again. I'm not sure if you're ready for that.
Well, the whole point of this is to go viral on TikTok.
Yeah, but not being accused of being from Portland.
Tragic accusations. I'm very sorry about
Gravest
that.
accusation. That city is really bad. Like, honestly, it's not just a joke or a misrepresentation. It's not a good city. And I think fellow Portlanders watching this would probably agree with me.
Oh shit. All right. Well, what is coming up for the band this year? I know you guys got Best Friends Forever. Is there any other shows or tours on the horizon? Any cool stuff coming popping off before you guys call it a day? Because you're off to law school or finishing or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, I don't know. We've been talking a little bit about maybe playing a show in New York in June or something. It's a little bit more likely now that I know I'm going to the East Coast for law school. But besides that, I really couldn't tell you. I mean, like, I move out for law school in August. So after that point, it's like my life is over. I'm just in the library 24/7. No hoes, no money, no future.
In law school, no one gives a fuck that you're in crochet.
They don't.
True. True.
And I've been finding that out. And in some ways, it's comforting. I mean, just like between you and me, the people I've met so far who are at these top schools, they go to a T14 or whatever, they're just not good. I don't like talking to them,
Hold
which
up,
is fine.
lawyers are not good people? Get
Well,
the
the
fuck
thing
out of
is,
here.
I would
Since
actually.
when? Go
I would
figure.
tolerate it more if they were more lawyerly, if they were just like normal sociopaths
Yeah.
who are in it for
Like
the money.
yourself.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah, they've got like collared shirts and they're really just living it up. I would appreciate that more because it has an energy around it. It's like, okay, I'm just going to be living inside American Psychos like an innocent bystander for the next 3 years. But it's not like that. They're just normal people who are kind of annoying, and they have more money than the average person.
What's their business cards look like?
Well,
Awesome
they have
player.
a really nice bone engraving.
Yeah.
That's just the,
That's amazing.
that.
That's
But
amazing.
you have to, is it mandatory to wear colored shirts in there?
Well, if you want to go to a V10 and really live your yuppie life, then you got to dress for the job you want, you know. But actually, a lot of people in American law schools these days, they just show up in sweatpants or something. I actually admire that. It's interesting. I'm curious how my sense of fashion is going to change because I've kind of fallen into this Ivy League thing out here in Vegas as an act of rebellion against the affliction kids.
Ew. Affliction.
But you don't know what affliction is.
No, I do. That's why I said
Oh,
ew.
you do.
I didn't know
Oh,
that
yeah.
was like a thing still. Like that died off here a while ago.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, no,
It's
it's back.
popular there? Wow.
With West
Sorry to
Coast
hear that.
strong kids, it's like the thing. Yeah. So,
No.
yeah.
Screamo kids are wearing Affliction. Are they like the Riz kids, like the new wave, the
Yeah.
young bucks kind of? Ew.
Yeah.
Jesus. Go back to tight pants and straightening your hair and shit. Affliction.
So that's the thing out here. And yeah, it
Gross.
became this as a means of displaying how much I am against that. But going into a place where everyone is like actually a yuppie and they're all well dressed and wear cufflinks and shit like that, maybe I'll revert back in the other direction. We'll see.
Now you're wearing Affliction to law school.
Yeah.
The chrome hearts, fucking, oh God.
Exactly. Are
Terrible,
we done?
terrible. Yeah.
I'm getting annoyed at you guys. No, sorry.
You say, are we done? Is that what you just said? Jesus, Vicky, it's only been an hour. You show up here to do the job and just miserable about it. All right. I see how it is.
I
I
was
see how it is.
posting. Oh, by the way, I gotta, I have to, put Zach on my close friends list because he did the same with me, and now we can both overshare in there. There's plenty of Italian, so we're gonna have to.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I really need to practice.
Because I was
Y'all.
walking my dog and I posted some shit, and Rob was like, only replied with 15. And I was like, do we have the call in 15 minutes? And he was like,
The
yes.
call that you set the fucking time for. Yeah, welcome to Vicky's close friends list. It's all just cringe and Italian that I can't translate. Half the time I click see translation, none available, and it's just her just being like, "Ooh, boop it about to be." I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So when she posted shit, I'm like, "Yo, 15 minutes, we got a call." She's like, "Oh, just walking the dog.
Yeah.
We'll get the fuck back home so we can
Non è
do the thing."
per te, amico. Non è per te.
Yeah.
Yeah, what he said.
Non è per te. That's so true,
Unbelievable.
though.
Letteromante. So
Literalmente.
true, though.
Oh. Yeah.
Did I nail it? Good pronunciation? Been working on it. You're welcome. So, thanks so much for coming on to the show today, Zach. Any last shout outs, any plugs, any causes, anything you'd want to speak on at all? The microphone's yours, the floor is yours. And then we will play an outro song on the audio podcast and say our arrivederci's or whatever the hell you guys say.
I can speak on all kinds of
Literally anything.
literalmente.
That's what I said. That's exactly how I said it, too.
Well, if I have to give a plug, it's going to be for the nation of Italy, the proud nation of Italy.
Hey, especially
That
the city of Rome, which is superior.
you're more of a southern Italy person than a northern one? You think the north is better?
Rome is the center, but I'm
Yeah.
from the south. My mom's from Sicily.
Oh, cool.
So
Nice. Well,
I
what's your
do.
opinion on it? What do you think is better?
I have a deep rejection of the north. Their accent is cringy. Their clothes are strange. The fact that they don't have like a strange obsession with the neighborhood they come from in their city is strange.
Which region invented pizza pockets? I would just like to personally thank them because they are the reason I am fat.
Well, that was the
It's not
Midwest region of
a
America, I think.
Was it? Okay.
I
What region does
don't know.
Pillsbury come from? Because they did the Pillsbury pizza pockets. I'd like to speak with him one day on the show.
That's interesting. That's based actually. I mean, if anyone needs help with their homework, you can email me at zacharytarzi@gmail.com, or DM the crochet account on Instagram, because I can probably help as long as it's not
Taking
like
commissions or what's
no,
that?
it's totally free. It's just an act of charity.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah, as long as it's not upper division math, I can probably help you out. So
Damn it.
yeah, Vicky's doing a computer science master's, so I can't help with that at all. But if you're doing something normal,
Something normal. Normal homework submissions only.
wish it was me.
he said. Yeah, I can probably help you out. It's an act of charity because Socrates said that if you live according to virtue, then you'll be among good men in the afterlife. So that's the plan. If anyone has any questions about law school or college admissions, I can probably help you out. I've been helping some people out with that as well. Again, just out of the kindness of my heart.
Can you cook my books?
Not yet. I'm thinking about maybe doing tax law. I'm not sure about that, but in 3 years, definitely hit me up and ask me. Yeah, that's another
Yeah.
plug. Yeah, when I graduate
Get it?
in 3 years, if anyone is interested in retaining me for my legal services, you can also email me at that address. What else? What else? I think that's about it for the plugs. If anyone would like to actually receive a copy of my senior thesis on Martin Heidegger, it will be done in a couple of weeks. So you can also email me and ask me for that. It's going to be good. Put a lot of work into it. It's not going to be that long, 20 or 30 pages.
You should put it on
Sounds
Bandcamp.
thrilling. Yeah.
That's a good
I'll
idea.
put it on our Patreon for free. Just attach it to this episode.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So the Bandcamp idea is good. I think I'll probably publish it there. Any other questions, concerns? I'm always here. I'm the real Uncle Scrams. I'll help you out.
Stop
Well, Uncle Scrams, it's been an absolute pleasure. Again, thank you so much for coming to chat on the show today. It's been a lot of laughs and very informative. So I thought it was a very great episode. Vicky, thank you so much for co-hosting as well.
Oh, if anyone from it, oh no. No, it's not. It's gonna come. This episode is gonna come out after the show. Whatever.
What show? What are you talking about?
We play, I'm singing with Ashen Hands tomorrow with Blind Girls in Piacenza,
You
Italy.
plugging your own stuff. Boo, boo.
Awesome.
It's not my band. It's not my band. I'm just filling
No,
in
that's
for
sick. Tomorrow?
vocals. Yeah.
Tomorrow? That's dope. Yeah, this is not till Wednesday.
Blind
That's cool.
girls are
Rant, rant.
cool, man. Love them.
So are Ashen Hands. So sick.
Are you
Very
playing in Rome?
sick.
What?
Playing in Rome?
In Piacenza, which is in Emilia Romagna region.
Oh, nice.
Cianza.
Roberto.
Oh, don't do that. Okay, Vittoria. Thank you, Zachary. Thank you. This has been an absolute blast hearing everyone do good Italian accents except me. It's been fun.
Me
And
too. I'll see you on Instagram. See you on my
exactly.
close friends. Ciao.
Arrivederci.
God.